Hello everyone, this is Mike Quincy, Connecting the Light. Sorry about the delay, we seem to have the gremlins around. I think it must be near Halloween. My guest today is Jock Brockus. If the name's familiar to you at all, he did come on to the program earlier this year, and believe it or not, we we started late in a very similar fashion. But anyway, it will give us a chance to spend more time to talk of his new book called Using the Sixth Sense. Are you there, Jock?
I am, Mike. How are you? It seems that we're destined to keep missing things.
I'm sure with your sixth sense, Jock, you must have known that we were going to be late getting hold of you.
Oh, I think not. I think with the best will in the world and God's will, we can't. I'm perched on top of a mountain in Scotland, and unfortunately, I don't have control over the weather. And I've not had any calls or nothing come through. So it's actually blowing a gale up here where I'm living. So it's very difficult with connections and things at the moment.
Well, never mind. You are on, and I'd certainly like to spend the best part of what we have, which is nearly a half an hour, talking about your book. But just briefly, for anybody who has or is listening to you for the first time, just explain your background and how you came into your own psychic development and awareness.
Okay, I'll try and cut this down to as small as I can because it's very long. But basically, at the moment, I mean, I'm a professional psychic medium. I work with my wife, Joanne, who's also an author, and has also released a book recently called Feel the Vibes. We work all over the world, and the difference being is I'm also an ex-military man. And I'm a professional martial artist, and I've blended the skills of what I've learned in the military and what I've learned as an undercover officer working with law enforcement and high-level security assignments with the sixth sense and with my martial background of studying the martial arts and my work as a psychic medium, and this gave rise to the book called Powers of the Sixth Sense, How to Remain Safe in a Hostile World. Which is really blending the whole kind of mind, body, and spirit aspect from not only the martial art, but the psychic way of life as well, and proving that we all have an innate ability to utilize our sixth sense to remain safe and to perhaps pick up on the negative vibes that may be around us, you know?
Yes.
That's now, my kind of background in about 2 minutes.
No, that's fair enough. Now, when I last spoke to you, I think your book was about due to be released, and then you were going on tour. So, did all that come to be?
Yeah, my wife and I, we've been really, really busy, in fact, and unfortunately, we never managed to do the tour of the U.S. because, with the best will in the world, we have problems with visas and getting in and trying to get things done in time, and unfortunately, governments don't work at the speed that we wish to work at. But we have done many other things, and since the book's been released, I have been doing a lot of training with police officers, with various law enforcement, including the Royal Air Force in the UK, and also the Army, some of which has been taken exceptionally well, and some of which has been taken not too good, you know. So I have my own battle on my hands at the moment of trying to convince people that they do have a sixth sense. And recently, you know, in Soldier magazine, there's been a little bit of a retort to one article that came out about this, you know, by a certain major in service. So some people are really taken to it. A lot of soldiers are contacting me saying that they believe and they trust in what I'm saying. And then unfortunately you've got people who are very five-century, like Major Ben Howell from the 3rd Para Battle Group in Kandahar, who just recently launched an attack on us, on the sixth-century community, by stating very stupidly and silly that there was no scientific basis for the sixth sense, which, of course, anyone who's listening to this radio show And anyone who's listening out there that knows anything about scientific evidence will know that scientists such as Rupert Sheldrake and other scientists in NASA have in fact proven the sixth sense and have in fact proven the existence of the auric aura, or the auric field, or as people would understand it, the electromagnetic field. And this person very stupidly came back in a magazine and said it doesn't exist. Which is very interesting. So I would say that I've had my own kind of battle of wits going on for the last, since the last time that before the book came out. And some soldiers, some police officers and some other people have really, really taken to it really well. And it's opened up people's minds and it's opened up skeptics' minds, which is a great thing. And some other people are still, I suppose, will still remain skeptical. But then again, so did the people that didn't believe in Christopher Columbus. And hey-ho, the world was round.
Yes. Now, I'll tell you a very strange coincidence here. A few months ago, I picked up a Psychic magazine. And what did I see? A small mention of your name and talking about a theme that you must have written about in the publication Soldier, which you just mentioned, about a soldier's innate instinct to sense danger, and you cited an incident in Afghanistan. Could you tell us a bit about that one?
Well, yes, certainly. I mean, this is one of the things that this major has come back with in saying that there's many people who have died and, you know, didn't their sixth sense work. But at the end of the day, people have never, you know, people are not open to the sixth sense. So the people who probably passed, it was either their time to go, it was already written that they were going to go, and other people who have utilized the sixth sense have indeed saved a life from it. And I did have a soldier contact me from, had just returned from Afghanistan, and even with working with soldiers now, not only that case that I cited in the book or cited in that article, that I have had many, many soldiers come to me now and saying, you know, I had this hunch, I had this sixth sense, I do believe in it. And just recently, a senior officer from the RAF had cited a case himself. And this soldier had been, you know, doing his thing in Afghanistan and had the impetus and the little nuances, the signs were all around him. And he was quite a spiritual man anyway, but obviously didn't quite understand the whole idea of sixth sensory living or psychic phenomena or what people understand as paranormal, which actually my wife and I think is normal and not paranormal.
Yes.
And there was the case where they had managed to sense danger before it happened and saved his life and that of other soldiers, you know. And it's interesting, you know, Mike, because since my book's launched, I now do a lot of teaching. I do a lot of teaching and to soldiers and to the families and to other people in other areas of the forces that after so long with training with me, doing a martial art and understanding the path of Budo, the path of the warrior, and then being introduced to sixth sensory development, albeit very slowly, are actually starting to, you know, they are getting shocked and they're coming up and they're saying to me, I never really believed that this was real until I've experienced it for myself. So I think you really have to experience it before you can really make a judgment on it.
Yes. Now, in the title of your book, I will repeat what you just mentioned, was how to remain safe in a hostile world. Well, that's certainly what we live in. Now, have you had any, well, you have had personal experiences, but you tell us that the sixth sense can warn you of imminent danger, whether it's yourself, your family or business, and whether it's personal hostility, a potential robbery, or even terrorist attack. Perhaps you'd like to tell us of any personal experience you've had of that, perhaps one that really illustrates what you're talking about.
Well, let me give you, rather than giving you a kind of example that's been in the book, let me actually cite an example that happened to me very recently.
Yeah, so
It was late at night, and I had actually finished training, And my wife and I had been doing a little bit of changes in the house, and I had to go to the bank late at night to... I was actually getting my wife a little car to run around in, and I had to go to the bank to actually take a large sum of money out of the bank.
Yes.
That I had got, that we'd saved up, to get Joe a little car. And as I went to the, there was no one there, and I went to the cash line, and I had this terrible, terrible vibe, and I had the feeling that there was people approaching me that were very negative,
yeah.
And in actual fact, I turned around just in time and moved out of the way as a couple of young men had actually come up that were foreigners, and I knew they had malice on their mind, and because I turned around and kind of changed my the way I was positive, I was 100% positive that had I been staring at the screen and not felt anything, then there would have been a robbery taking place, and they were actually targeting me. But because I felt it way before they came near me, I turned and faced them. I had already seen them, and I changed my tactic a little bit then. I took my card out and left, went back to my vehicle, and waited until the area was clear. And they were hanging around. They weren't taking any money out of any cash lines. They weren't waiting in a queue. They were hanging around that area, and they were waiting for an easy target. And
yeah.
I waited and waited, and they weren't moving. So then I travelled on, and I went to another cash line.
Right.
That's only within the last 2 weeks.
Right, amazing. It's interesting you should talk of that aspect, because, funnily enough, the next question I was going to ask you was about controlling fear. Now, you're obviously well-practiced in it, but what advice can you give people?
Well, see, the first thing I've got to say to people about fear is yes, fear is a negative energy, but we must understand that we need a little bit of fear in our lives, because fear keeps us alive.
Mm.
Fear is what being scared of something or being aware of something can be a healthy understanding of fear. And of course,
yeah.
You've got the opposite polarity, whereby you have a terrible a fear of fear itself, and therefore you cocoon yourself in a complete negative bubble, and you find it difficult to get out of that. But I think if we understand fear and we understand how we reach that personal negative emotion, we can actually enhance that energy and utilize that energy as perhaps a weapon against itself, as perhaps another avenue. It just keeps our heightened emotion, our heightened awareness there. And even in the martial arts, and over many years and thousands of years, all masters have had a healthy understanding of fear and what it is, and understanding that it is an energy and not something that should really consume us. And once we understand that and we learn to control it through being able to utilize proper breathing, being able to calm the emotions with intention, with pure intention and driven intention, then by controlling that emotion, we are able then to pick up and use it as a protective thing, rather
yeah.
than something that we must, fight against.
That's interesting. Now, yet another funny little coincidence here is that 2 weeks ago I had Jenny Smedley on my radio.
Oh, yeah.
Very interesting interview. And she reviewed your book. And funnily enough, I'd already penciled in a part that were of her comments to raise a point with you. Now, she spoke about the value of the subconscious, and she was talking about our system aims to cultivate this sense by years of training in natural movement. Now, I think she was quoting you. And by this process, unnatural and inessential is stripped away, and the ability of the subconscious to naturally protect the person is freed and enabled. Now, that's very interesting. Perhaps you'd like to comment about that aspect as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, one of the things I've got to say to people is, if we want to talk about natural movement and the subconscious working naturally with that,
yeah.
Stand at the mouth of a river or stand at the edge of a stream and watch it. There's constant flow, and no matter what is blocking the path of the water, it always finds a way around.
Yeah.
Nothing stays still. Even when water is calm, it is still moving, and that can be proven. And there's life within it that constantly moves. And nothing, and even the wind, when wind is carried through, if there's something that is blocking it, it finds its way around naturally. And this natural flow is like a constant movement, a constant natural way of moving beyond your even instinctive movement, beyond, it's above your sixth sense, and it's higher than that. It's being a part of the natural flow of universal energy. And if we can get to a point where we understand the natural flow of universal energy, because we are spirits in human form, we are not human in spirit form, that means that we're all made up of energy, and that we're all part of this this energy that pervades everything, that is part of everything that we ever are, think, breathe,
right.
Even whether it's animate or inanimate, you know. And at the end of the day, when we pass over, we just, our bodies revert back to another energy. It's a constant form, constant flow. And if we can understand that, we're able to move with this flow, this natural rhythm of the universe, which is beyond what you perceive materially, and have to, like, you know, if a fighter's been attacked, they move out of the way of the attack, or they try and block in a linear fashion, or they try and utilize how they feel to pick up sensations. But if we're constantly moving, and we're constantly at one with our own mind and body, then there's no telling that what we can do. And I've proven it time and time again, even within the dojo, that no matter how many times you're attacked, or attacked from behind, forward, whatever, it's very difficult to defeat anything that's constantly moving. Anything that's that's able to be defeated has to stay stationary at one particular point in time. If you look at a soldier who's killed in a battlefield, a bomb that explodes somewhere, there has to be a stationary, there has to be a point of devastation, and normally that's in this, if you like, this paradox, this of time, that something happens. Now, if you're constantly flowing, constantly moving, your energy's there, it's very difficult to defeat anything. It's hard to catch anything that's constantly moving.
Right. Just let me ask you one question in that connection. Are you talking about physical movement, mental movement, or both?
I'm talking, actually, that's interesting you bring up that concept. I'm talking about allowing your physical movement to become one with your mind. So, yes, both eventually. One, you have to understand natural movement from the flow of your body. When you get to a level of understanding, and when you've practiced and you're trained for so long, like Jenny Smedley had said to you, you are utilizing the subconscious. You're without thinking. It's natural.
Right.
It's just part of your mind, body, and soul. So we want the physical movement to become part of the higher value, the higher aspect of your soul or your spirit, you know?
Right. Yes, I understand.
So it becomes
that.
To become one, in effect.
Yes. Right. Now, one name that is on your list who's reviewed your book, who I haven't had on my program and I would love to, is Nick Pope. And
Yes,
well, he's quite well known now.
He's very well known now.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, he's a good guy. Now, he referred to you as the author, quite correctly, saying that you move seamlessly from tried and tested martial arts techniques and counter-surveillance strategies, and this is the bit that interested me, to intuition, mediumship, and guardian angels. Now, it was the last one that fascinated me. Where do they fit in with your teachings or your writings?
Well, you know, everybody asks, you know, and I get asked this, by soldiers, and, you know, do I have a guardian angel? Do I have a guide? Is there angels around me? Well, yes, the answer is yes, they are. Yes. They're in our world. They're around us. We all have a guardian angel. And this can be, yes, it's a separate entity to our higher intuition, but they are also able to feed us with information to keep us safe. And they're like that little, the little conscience that sits on your shoulder keeping you right, you know, putting thoughts into your mind. But one thing that we must understand is that an angel is not allowed to interfere with free will. You have the free will. All they can do is to give you signs. They can give you guidance. And the only time that an angel can intervene is if you are, if perhaps it's a disaster that's about to take you, that's about to make you cross over to the spirit realm, and it's before your time, before your agreed time that you were to go, then they can intervene if it's a disaster or anything like that. But normally, you know, they don't intervene with free will. They're not allowed to do that. This is a higher heavenly law. But they're there to give you guidance. And at the same time, yes, I mean, look at all the way through history. Angels have appeared to give people warnings of danger. I mean, you only need to look at the Bible to see that the angels came to Joseph to give a warning that King Herod was after Jesus and was after the firstborn. And, you know, so if we look at things from the Bible, if you look at things from the Book of Jubilees, if you look at the Enochian scrolls, and some of the hidden scrolls from hidden scripture, there is evidence of angelic, you know, winged beings giving information and keeping people safe from harm. And if you look at some of the books that have recently been released in the UK and in the US on angels, there is many people whose lives have been touched and saved by angelic intervention.
Why not bring these beings into
the whole idea of utilizing your intuition to keep you safe? Because angels
agree,
want to keep you safe.
I can vouch for that, and I think we see a lot of books around now about people's experiences with angels. We're having such an interesting talk. The little time we have is going by very rapidly. But I want to move on to another review that came out through Sue Allen, who's the author of Spirit Release. She was mentioning, amongst other things, which you have already mentioned, about the aura. Now, where does that fit in to your ideas of protection? How do you use it?
Well, the aura is our electromagnetic field, our spiritual essence, our spiritual body, if you like. Now, at the end of the day, a thought transference or negative energy is going to interfere. It's going to interfere with the vibration or the rate of which the aura is at. And we can pick up negative thoughts through the auric field. Science has proven. Dr. Barbara Brennan, who used to be a NASA physicist, has been able to prove that thought forms exist within the auric field, within the electromagnetic field. Now, if that being the case, and NASA's quite happy to put that white paper out to say, yes, there is a disturbance, there is a change in the energy field, we have these images of what we believe to be thought forms within an auric field, then it stands to reason that anybody who's going to attack you or anybody who's going to do anything negative to you has to come from a thought process. Now, let me say to people that everything in this world comes from thought. This is a world that is made up of thought. Inventions have to come from a thought. When someone invented the wheel, it had to be an idea, therefore it had to be a thought form. So it stands to reason that this thought form is a part of energy, is part of the energy that pervades, and we're able to pick up that energy through our auric field. And the auric field has been scientifically proven. And I just hope that this Major Ben Howell can get his finger out his backside and start to try and read about a little bit of the science that is out there to open up their minds a little bit more. However, what I'd like to say is that the aura has been, even within the martial arts, the aura has been understood for thousands of years. The chakras were Sanskrit for spinning wheel. And also we can use the aura to protect us, because we can control by intention the strength of our aura. We can pull our aura in. We can strengthen our aura against anything by utilizing visualization. And Dr. Barbara Brennan has done this and tested this scientifically. So I think there's a lot to be said for utilising the aura as a powerful force that can protect us as well as transferring, you know, psychics for many, many years get a lot of information. Psychics read the aura. They get all information is contained within the auric field.
So does your book tell people how to regulate their aura in that way for their self-protection?
It does. The book goes into many aspects of psychic and spiritual ability. But what people must understand as well is that this book is the first of four books in a series.
Right.
And the second one is just about to come out as well.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So so when people get to it and read it, the book is designed to leave them wanting more of the kind of spiritual aspect of everything. And that's the next book in the series, which is called Powers of the Soul, which is going to be due out soon. The manuscript is finished and is sitting with an agent as we speak. So people have got to realize that this is one of four. There's a lot more that's going to step up and get deeper and deeper and in many aspects of it. The first book is the only time that I delve into the security and the intuition, keeping us safe. The next book's more about the spiritual aspects and about mediumship and about various other aspects of Jesus being a psychic medium.
Right.
It's a very controversial book.
Oh, right. Have you got a target date yet for it?
Eh?
Have you got a target date for the publishing?
Oh, God, no, we haven't. But what I'll do, Mike, is I'll send you a sneak preview of it so you can get a flavour for it.
Okay.
I'll do that. But, as things are with the publishing industry, you know, the publishers at the moment can... It could take ages, it could take a few months, it could take 6 months, it just depends. There's so many books coming out each month, and especially with my publishers, with old books, they're releasing about 30 books a month or something, so you could be well doing
that. That could be a good trigger for you coming on again, because now, with these two programs, we still owe you nearly a whole program. Now, we've only got a couple of minutes or so left, Jock, so can you tell our listeners how they may obtain your book?
Well, the book's available through all good bookshops, especially Waterstones and any of the books in America. They can go into Borders or Barnes & Noble, or they can buy it online. They can go straight on online and they can buy them from Amazon in Europe and the UK. And also, you know, I'm happy to say that the book's been that well taken. It's now gone into the Russian language, and it's gone into Indian language, and it's gone into East European language.
Okay.
So it's now in three languages, and it's looking at coming out in more languages in the future.
Do you have a website?
I do. My website is www.jockbrokus.com. That's www.jockbrokus.com. And they can get information on the book there and the work that my wife and I are up to and what we do. That's how they can get hold of it. And then they can get in touch with me and I'll let everybody know when the next book's, when it's due to out. The manuscript's finished, so here's hoping.
Right, so do I take it from that you have an email address on the web?
Yes, everything, yeah. They can contact
it's
me straight through the... through the website.
That's good. Okay. Fine. Well, fortunately, although we didn't go into great depth because I could have enlarged my questions, we covered the main ones. I actually penciled in to ask you, and we've just reached the end of the program, so I'm taking the last minute to announce next week's guest. So thank you very much for coming on to the program, John. That was extremely interesting to talk to you, and I wish you every success in the sales of the book. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mike. It's been a pleasure.
You're welcome. Right, next week, my friends, I've got the Reverend Mari D. Jones coming in, who's the author of a book called Looking for God in All the Wrong Places. She has also written one about PSI science called Quantum Physics, a New Science that may explain the existence of paranormal phenomena. And I would say for a lady who has written an 11th commandment, thou shall question authority. She sounds a very interesting character. So, thank you for being with me today. I hope you can be with me next week. God bless you all. Thank you.